Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
It is the feast day of St. Pope John Paul II, one of my favorites. I always ask him for intercessory prayer in my work as a communications consultant and coach. It's Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tomeo here this morning on a Wednesday, October 22nd. Always a pleasure to be with all of you here today. Joining us this hour, we'll be talking with Timothy Schmoltz. For more than 25 years, Timothy has been sculpting large-scale sculptures. He's a figurative artist with his pieces installed worldwide. Some of his most reputed pieces are installed in historical churches in Rome and at the Vatican. And we'll be talking with him about latest pieces, a bust of Christ and Charlie Kirk at Ave Maria University in a sculpture park opening up in Orlando on November 1st. Gospel Gardens will be the biggest Catholic sculpture park in America. This is so exciting. So I'm really looking forward to talking with Timothy here this morning. We'll also be joined this morning with a couple more guests this hour. We'll be talking with Joan. Actually, Timothy Schmoltz will be with us. I'm sorry. And Joan Lewis will be with us, as she always is, on a Wednesday, giving Teresa updates on Vatican news. Joan's Rome. So a lot to talk with Joan here this hour as well. She actually shared with me a list of topics, including a look back at Sunday and the seven canonizations, the awesome crowd, 70,000, the amazing stories, and the new saints, Pope Leo, what is now a weekly event on his calendar. And we'll talk about that as well as his general audience here as well. And so again, asking Pope John Paul II for intercessory prayer. I have this beautiful sketch of Pope John Paul II that was sketched by Father Patrick Setu from the St. Thomas Chaldean Eparchy here. And it sits in my kitchen on my mantle, and I just absolutely love it. And he has been known for many quotes. Him and Mother Teresa are two of my favorite people to quote, along with Mother Angelica. But one of my favorites, you know, several quotes from Pope John Paul II that we can kind of reflect on today, you know, as on his feast day. Have no fear of moving into the unknown. Simply step out fearlessly, knowing that I am with you, therefore no harm can befall you. All is very, very well. Do this in complete faith and confidence. And he's talking about I being the Lord, right? Freedom consists not in doing what we like, but in having the right to do what we ought. That's one of my favorite. Freedom consists on not doing what we like, but having the right to do what we ought. And he also said, stupidity is also a gift from God, but one mustn't misuse it. So Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Pray for us, Pope John Paul II, on his feast day. We ask him for intercessory prayer. It is approaching 4 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection, and now it's time for the news on EWTN. And we're going to start our newscast this morning with a weather update from Tammy Trillo.
Mostly clear skies from New York northward into New England. Breezy with temperatures in the low 60s. In the mid-Atlantic from Pennsylvania to Virginia, it's a bright and crisp fall day with sunshine and temperatures near 70 with low humidity. A few scattered showers and thunderstorms are expected from northern Florida into southern Georgia. Elsewhere across the southeast, partly sunny with highs in the 80s. A high pressure system is building in the deep south, bringing drier, warmer weather with temperatures in the upper 80s from Texas through Alabama. Mostly sunny throughout the Midwest with temperatures in the low 70s, while clouds are increasing across the northern plains as a developing storm system moves in from the Rockies. Gusty winds and showers are possible for the Dakotas. The central and southern plains stay dry with temperatures near 80. There's a mix of sun and clouds across the desert southwest with both Phoenix and Las Vegas in the low 90s. Warm and dry across California with temperatures in the 70s along the coast into the 80s inland. And in the Pacific Northwest, expect rain in western Washington and Oregon spreading into Idaho with highs in the upper 50s. That's your national forecast. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
State-level religious freedom protections grow in recent years here in the United States, but that is not the case globally. This from the Catholic News Agency. Protections from religious freedom in the United States have grown in recent years, with multiple states adopting laws to strengthen the constitutional right to freely exercise one's religion. As of 2025, 30 states have adopted a version of the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act, or similar legislation protection for religious freedom. The most recent states to adopt these protections for state-level laws were Georgia and Wyoming in 2025, and Iowa, Utah, and Nebraska in 2024. West Virginia and North Dakota adopted them in 2023, and South Dakota and Montana did the same in 2021. Now, the Federal Religious Freedom Act was first adopted in 1993 when the then President Bill Clinton signed it into law to expand religious freedom protections. Under the law, the federal government cannot substantially burden the free exercise of religion unless there's a compelling government interest and it is carried out in the least restrictive means possible. Meanwhile, however, Aid to Church in Need's 2025 report on religious freedom around the world points how persecution is on the rise, as almost 5.4 billion people live in countries with serious violations of religious freedom. This from Vatican News. Aid to Church in Need has released the 2025 edition of its Religious Freedom and the World Report, bringing to light the situation of ongoing discrimination and persecution around the globe. Looking at 196 countries, this report covering the period of January 1st, 2023 to December 31st, 2024, stressed Article 18 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Everyone has a right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. In a conference at the Patristic Institute, members of Aid to the Church in Need reflected on the figures and information gathered since the last report 2 years ago regarding countries facing persecution and discrimination. According to Cardinal Pietro Parolin, who gave the keynote address, this year's report is the largest since ACN began publishing them in 1999, showing that the trend of religious persecution continues to rise. The report warns that 64.7% of the world's population, almost 5.4 billion, live in countries with serious or very serious violations of religious freedom. Meanwhile, spiritual revival is on the rise. Bible sales surged after the assassination of Charlie Kirk as Americans turned to faith for comfort and support, with 2.4 million copies sold in the U.S. this September alone. The final debate among the three candidates looking to become the next mayor of New York City is tonight, with early voting starting Saturday. Democrat frontrunner Zohan Mamdani, independent Andrew Cuomo, and Republican Curtis Sliwa will go at it at 7 o'clock Eastern Time.
And I will be casting my vote on the first day of early voting Saturday. So that should reaffirm to everybody, I'm in it to win it.
Sliwa is still showing no signs that he'll drop out of the race despite pressure from Cuomo to drop out. Meanwhile, yesterday, the candidates continued to campaign, with Cuomo proposing New York City should take control of subway systems, and Mamdani is proposing to audit school vendor contracts. President Trump was asked about Sliwa remaining in the race.
He's not going to win, and not looking too good for Cuomo either. But maybe, I don't know, if he dropped out, maybe Cuomo would have a little bit of a chance, but not much.
President Trump again touting his tariffs. More from Mark Mayfield.
During a Rose Garden luncheon for Senate Republicans on Tuesday, Trump talked about foreign trade.
I'll tell you what, tariffs equal national security. Remember that.
Trump said he has high hopes of finally reaching a trade deal with China when he meets with President Xi Jinping later this month in South Korea. China and the U.S. have been involved in a trade standoff since Trump took office for the second time. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Meanwhile, Vice President J.D. Vance and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu held talks today in Jerusalem on the implementation of the Gaza ceasefire agreement. He and Second Lady Usha Vance was greeted by Netanyahu and his wife Sarah upon their arrival.
Hello. So nice to see you. Yes, thanks for having us. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Speaking ahead of their meeting, Vance said things are going better than he thought. Today's talks come after Hamas on Tuesday returned the bodies of two more dead hostages to Israel. The Palestinian militant group is believed to still be in possession of the remains of 13 more held since October 7th, 2023 attacks. Gold prices plummet as investors profit off of record highs. The price of gold is plunging as investors profit off of record highs. Mark Mayfield has more.
Gold hit an all-time peak on Monday at nearly $4,400 an ounce as investors buy precious metals in times of economic uncertainty. On Tuesday, gold dropped over 5%, its steepest decline in over 5 years. Silver and platinum prices also plummeted. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Millions of Americans will soon be impacted if the government shutdown doesn't end quickly. Tammy Trujillo has that story.
Funding for SNAP food assistance could run out very soon.
Should the federal government not fund the SNAP program for Texas by October 27th, no benefits would be issued on November 1st.
That's the San Antonio Food Bank chief, Eric Cooper. The acting administrator of SNAP says the nationwide program won't have enough money by the end of the month if the shutdown continues. Over 42 million low-income Americans use SNAP. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
It's National Color Day. Today is a celebration of all colors. Bree Tennis with more on National Color Day.
Researchers say color psychology is real and color can make you do stuff. Fast food restaurants use yellow and orange because those colors are proven to make you hungry. But a green tablecloth will make you eat less. Blue makes you buy. Red makes you buy more. White makes you alert, but pink makes you calm, but only in small doses. Today, celebrate color. Go bold and drag out your favorite, which statistically in America is blue. I'm Bree Tennis.
I think we should test this out on Thanksgiving. Have one table with a orange tablecloth and one with a green and see who eats less. Here is Mark Mayfield with the latest technology news.
Apple says liquid glass can now be customized. The company is allowing users to opt between clear and tinted. The beta feature is now available to developers, and the public should have access to the beta in a few days. Anthropic is giving its AI coding assistant, Claude Code, a web app. It lets developers use their web browser to create and manage multiple AI coding agents. Claude Code for the web is now available for Anthropic's paid plans. Federal regulators are investigating Waymo after a robo-taxi made a dangerous move. The NTSA says a video shows a Waymo driving around a parked school bus while children were exiting. The company argues that the bus in Atlanta was partially blocking the driveway that the robo-taxi was trying to use. And Adobe is offering a new product so businesses can use its creative features to harness AI. Adobe AI Foundry was launched on Monday to let companies build custom generative AI models using their own intellectual property. It builds off of Adobe Firefly to produce images, videos, and text that utilize a company's logo or branding. Tech Report, I'm Mark Mayfield.
Walmart says it's halting job offers to foreign candidates who need H-1B visas to work in the U.S. The policy change announced on Tuesday come after Trump administration said it was imposing a $100,000 fee on visas for highly skilled workers. The administration says the fee is intended to curb abuse of the H-1B visa program. Walmart is the largest private sector employer in the U.S. and currently employs more than 2,000 H-1B visa holders. Broadway could be going dark later this week. The union representing Broadway musicians say they will walk off their gigs as early as this Thursday if their contract demands are not met. Musicians say they have been working without a contract since late August, and they want a new deal with wages that accurately reflect how well the theater industry is doing in New York City. Both sides will meet with a mediator today in hopes of coming to an agreement. Warner Brothers Discovery says it's open to a possible sale. The company said it was undergoing a review of potential alternatives and had received unsolicited interest from multiple parties for purchase. It's 14 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection. We got to take a break. We'll be right back after this. Guest has more than 25 years. Timothy has been sculpting large-scale sculptures. He's a figurative artist with his pieces installed worldwide, including in historic churches in Rome and at the Vatican. And the piece he has being installed at Ave Maria University is just absolutely beautiful. Timothy Smoltz, thank you so much for joining us here on Catholic Connection.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
So let's talk about this beautiful sculpture that you have worked on with Charlie Kirk and Jesus. You know, obviously inspired by the horrific and recent assassination of Charlie Kirk. Tell us what went on in your mind as an artist who truly evangelizes the faith through your artwork.
Well, thank you. It was, I think, a moment in the world that everyone stopped and with the murder of Charlie Kirk. I remember the evening I would have some calls from my friends, even in Spain, very upset. And really, the world stopped, and I actually stopped sculpting at that point in time. I was so upset about what happened. And I think it was a murder of not only a young man, but also it was, in a sense, a murder of the idea of free speech and that we all can get along. And so in my studio, I was contemplating on doing a sculpture of Charlie almost immediately. I've had people all over calling and saying, Tim, you have to do something. But it wasn't until I talked to my daughter, who's 16 years old, and I never knew that she was following Charlie for more than a year. And she was so devastated and upset. And she said, Charlie was one of the reasons why I joined the high school debating club.
Wow.
And, yeah. Wow. So here I am talking to my 16-year-old daughter and trying to explain the world we live in, that this actually happened. And it was very, very heavy. And but the interesting thing is that throughout that conversation with my daughter, we did start talking about key important ideas like abortion. And, you know, it's interesting because I never had a conversation with her about that. And she was saying, you know, I agree with most of what Charlie says, but this is what I don't agree. And then we got into a debate ourselves. And then I realized that this is what Charlie did around the world. And so after that conversation with my daughter, it was late at night, and I thought, okay, God, if you give me the most amazing idea for Charlie in the morning, I usually wake up at 4 in the morning to sculpt. If you give me the most amazing idea for a sculpture of Charlie, I will stop every other sculpture that I'm working on and I'll start doing it. And so 4 o'clock came by the next day. Nothing was on my plate. And then I thought, oh, Tim, you're just being lazy. Get up, go to your studio, get some clay together and just start sculpting. And it was interesting because that's what I did. I thought that we have to put energy. I have to put energy, and you just can't wait for surprises all the time. So I went to my studio, not knowing anything of what I was doing. I actually listened to the Bible nonstop when I sculpt. I put on the Old Testament, and actually I put on my phone some of the debates that Charlie was in. So that was my first day working on the piece. And I got the clay, I started forming it, and immediately Jesus appeared. And so it wasn't only a portrait of Charlie, it became a portrait of Jesus. And the fascinating thing is, as I started the piece, Jesus was angry. I had his teeth baring. He was basically screaming within my sculpture. And I think what he was screaming was, thou shalt not murder. And yeah. So I was working on this piece, and the composition of Charlie and Jesus together. Oftentimes when I do a sculpture of a saint, I oftentimes think, how would that saint want to be represented? And likewise with the sculpture of Charlie, I thought, how would he want to be represented? He would want to be represented with Christ. And so the composition was going great. Throughout the days I was working on it, Jesus calmed down. And I realized that I did not want to represent in this monument that honors this idea of the sacredness of life. I don't want to have an angry Christ. And so the days that followed, the Christ, although he still looks stern within the piece, he's no longer screaming. And I think throughout those days I was working, it basically took me about a whole week to create the piece. I think the whole world calmed down a bit and stopped screaming and actually became more introverted. And I think a little bit more emotional about what happened. And so peace came upon my sculpture. I got to the point where I just thought it was done. I have Charlie with a little bit of a smile on his face. He has his bright eyes open. He's looking forward into the future. You could interpret that he's in heaven with Jesus, looking forward. Jesus has his hand. He's almost cradling or embracing Charlie. And it just so happens that the hand rests on his neck area where he was shot. And as I looked at this piece unfolding, I thought, isn't that interesting? Because the wound of being on the cross is hiding the wound of Charlie.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought when I saw this. I was like, oh my gosh, look at Jesus's wound in his hand hiding the wound of Charlie. It was so powerful to me. And I love the expression of Jesus's face exactly. Like, he's like, I'm with you, but he's like, this should not have happened, but I'm with you. I'm here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, this is horrible murder, but I'm here. You know, I had so many emotions when I saw this, I have to tell you, Timothy.
Well, thanks. And the composition, like you mentioned, they're together. Their heads are basically touching. And it is a very connected piece in a sense. And it's a beautiful composition. If you look back, it almost is in the shape of a heart. And I didn't want to do the full bodies. I wanted to zero right in on the expressions, and I wanted to zero in on the faces, which is, I think, the most important aspect about the project, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a big deal for me in my studio. I got a lot of different projects going on, and I'm happy this exists now. And it's interesting because already you're not hearing as much of Charlie as you did a couple weeks ago. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about sculpture in bronze. It lasts forever. And so I oftentimes think, being a sculptor, that it's very important to preserve things within artwork, and this is no exception. So I'm happy this piece exists, and actually, even before I was finished the piece, the Ave Marie University in Naples, Florida, they acquired the first bronze cast of it. And it's part of their collection now when it's done in bronze. But hopefully I'll be making more of these pieces in the future.
Let me ask you this. How much of your own anger was in the work that you were doing? You know what I mean? How much of yourself calmed down, you know, during the process, you know, when you first started this, when you said Jesus is faced with anger? How much of it came from your own emotion and what you were feeling about what happened?
That's what I think. As being a sculptor, you have to use that as one of your number one resources. Oftentimes, when I'm doing a sculpture of a scriptural passage or of a saint, I try to learn as much and get as much under the skin of that saint and or that scripture and try to really feel it. It's almost like a silent or active prayer, in a sense, when you're creating. And that's the way I take my sculpture, in a sense, that it's a form of prayer. And I have I do believe that we have to kind of widen our idea of what prayer is. Oftentimes when I'm doing a sculpture, it's almost like rosary beads, because by piece by piece, the sculpture is created, right?
Yeah.
So in my studio, I try to make the environment almost like an artistic chapel here. But with this piece here, it was my emotion 100% from the beginning, and there was in a sense a double attack on it, with not only the murder, but then also some people's reaction after it.
Sure,
it was just rage about violent attack on humanity, but then the cold, callous.
Yeah.
Polarization just made me realize, oh my God, we are in trouble here as a culture.
We're going to continue this conversation. Sorry, Timothy, we got to take a break. We're going to continue this conversation with Timothy Schmaltz after this. You know, we're all blessed with talents, and baptized Christians are blessed with charisms, and talents are for us, for our work. Charisms are to evangelize the faith and bring others to Christ. And I can tell you, Timothy Schmaltz has not only an amazing talent as an artist, this is a true charism, because it moves me. closer to Christ just by looking at his work. And we're just kind of finishing up talking about the Charlie Kirk statue, this bronze statue that he has sculpted that is going to be on the Ave Maria University campus. And then we'll move into the Gospel Gardens. But, you know, Timothy, you're kind of finishing up there. What else do you want to share about this particular piece? And we'll talk about the Gospel Gardens.
Yeah, well, a couple, like, Charlie's still in my studio, and I think about him often after that intense creative process. And I often think one of the things I loved about him is the courage he had. Like, he would go on campuses, he would talk about the problems with abortion, the problems with our mainstream idea of sexuality. He would challenge people, and that courage, right? I think I really respect, and I hope, and my life's work will do the same thing, but only through artwork, only evangelizing through sculpture, in a sense. Oftentimes, I think I'm so happy when one of my sculptures, like the homeless Jesus, is installed outside. So the people that are kind of afraid to go inside the church has that gospel message. So today, Charlie's an absolute inspiration for me to continue to create and evangelize through artwork.
And more is going outside in Orlando at the Gospel Gardens installation. This is actually incredible. It's beautiful. Tell us about this.
The Gospel Gardens. It is my largest sculpture project ever, and I do believe it will be the largest sculpture park in America, and Catholic sculpture park, I should say. And what it is it's massive Stations of the Cross, 14 of them. Some of the stations are 30 feet long. And what I've created, it's right at the, I don't know if some of your listeners would know, but Mary, Queen of the Universe Basilica, right there in Orlando, steps away from SeaWorld and Disneyland and everything. Now we have this spiritual, we had the spiritual oasis of the Basilica there. And now to supplement that, we have a sculpture park that celebrates the Stations of the Cross. The reason why I didn't call it the Stations of the Cross Sculpture Park is because I didn't want people to think that they knew what they were going to see before they went in. People have this preconceived idea what the Stations of the Cross are. This will blow people away. They're massive. Like I mentioned, the large ones are 30 feet long, and they have in it so many subtle scenes. In fact, almost every single parable in the New Testament is woven within the sculpture. You can kind of imagine in the background the sower and the seeds, or the prodigal son worked in there. There's so much in this. And it's exactly what I was talking about before, is a form of evangelizing. And as I worked on this project, it took me 3 years to actually create these pieces. As I worked on them, I thought to myself, if an 18-year-old or a 15-year-old that's cynical about everything, going to Disneyland, comes to the Gospel Gardens and sees this, he's going to have a better experience in the Gospel Garden Park than he will on these rides and this other entertainment. My premise is that people, especially the young people, are spiritually starving. And what this Gospel Gardens in Orlando does is it gives them an alternative to that popcorn culture that is pushed on them so much. So it's a big, big project.
And a massive undertaking, I'm sure. Like you just said, took you 3 years. Absolutely beautiful. I can imagine this being a pilgrimage site. So when does it officially open?
November the 1st. It's on All Saints Day, November the 1st, wow, which is coming up in 2 weeks. And one of the reasons, well, there's two reasons why that date has been picked. One of the sculptures has more than 100 saints in from all around the world.
Wow.
It's amazing, right? There's even the saint from Hawaii in there, right? And the other reason is because the patron who actually financed the whole project, Barbara Pepito, she's doing this in honor of her husband, Ralph Pepito, who was born on All Saints Day, November the 1st. So it's the perfect moment to unveil this epic sculpture park.
So as an artist, when somebody commissions such a project, what goes on in your mind? I mean, because this is massive.
Oh, what goes on in my mind after my whole life since I was 20 doing Catholic sculpture? Uh-huh. There's so much more to do. There is okay. so much embedded within the scriptures, within the saints, that needs to be put out. But what I love about this project is it is a big palette, so to speak, or a big canvas. Like, I'm telling you, it's a whole park for this. And yeah. the sculptures are massive. And so what goes on in my mind, in my heart, is that if it's done authentically, if representation of the Gospels are done authentically, it will convert. It will blow people away. And yeah. it's my burden. It's up to me to actually bring them into focus and to authentically show the scriptures, right?
So Timothy, how does your work, you know, after, you know, working on the Charlie Kirk statue and then working on this huge Orlando Gospel Gardens installation, enhance your own faith journey?
Well, it is my faith journey, 100%. And you know, that's been developed over the years, where I look at a piece of clay and I see it as a potential prayer. I see it as an amazing way to evangelize. If you actually consider sculpture almost like frozen preaching that's perpetually there, or like a film, you know, there's a lot of good Catholic films out there, but with sculpture, it's playing 24/7, all day, all night long. As long as people can see it, it's preaching. And so I think what I really realized after doing many pieces in Rome, including a second sculpture installed in St. Peter's Square, is I got a big burden on top of me here. Actually, when I did the Angels Unaware sculpture in 2019 that was installed in St. Peter's Square, I didn't take one moment off sculpting. I just started doing it again. And I thought, now I basically have a responsibility. And because there's not very many people out there that are using sculpture as a form of evangelizing. And there's a big focus and there's a lot of visibility on the pieces that I've done previously. Mm-hmm. And so if I can use that energy into create more authentic representations of Christianity. And I know we got a big hurdle with our secular culture. That's one of the reasons why I like the Gospel Gardens being in Orlando. You know, it's kind of like the eye of the storm where people go.
Yeah.
You know, you have 70 million people go into that Orlando airport every single year. And what I want to do is I want to give them that spiritual experience. And, wow. you know, some of the pieces are pretty epic.
Yeah. Timothy, give us your website, you know.
Well, I'll give you the Gospel Garden website, and then people can check it out, and that will link to my other websites, right? It's thegospelgarden.com, thegospelgardens.com. You got to put the in front of it, thegospelgardens.com.
We'll put a link to that as well. Timothy Schmoltz, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you and all that you do.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thegospelgardens.com. Stay with us, everyone. When we come back, Joan Lewis will be joining us. Don't go away. Here in Catholic Connection, Vanessa Dunn-Hagarmo filling in for Teresa Tamio this morning. It's a Wednesday, and that means Joan Lewis is with us, Joan's Rome and Vatican News. Joan, how are you today?
I am good. Busy, lots and lots of friends in town, and the Order of the Holy Sepulchre, people from around the world are here. It's their Jubilee week, so, you know, lots of different groups on the calendar for the Jubilee year as we wind down the last couple months, you know.
Yeah.
Seems pretty amazing, but that's what's happening.
And we also had canonizations of seven. So tell us about that and the crowds.
That was absolutely phenomenal. It was an absolutely gorgeous day in the first place. But there were 70,000 people in the square for 55 or more thousand seated for the canonization ceremony, and then others who had come, obviously, for the Angelus at the end of the papal mass. But what was so wonderful, a man, now saint, Bartolo Longo, Catholic lawyer, renounced his faith for Satanism, returned to the faith, became apostle of the Rosary, and founded the beautiful, one of my favorites, the shrine of Our Lady of the Rosary of Pompeii. So he's now a saint, and I know the Italians were overjoyed. And then Venezuela received that country's first two saints. One, Saint Jose Hernandez Cisneros, known as the Doctor of the Poor. And then there was a religious sister. This is an amazing story. She was born without her left arm, but she went on to found an order of religious, the Servants of Jesus, in Caracas in 1965. And then another country, Papua New Guinea, welcomed its first ever saint, Peter Toroth. He's a lay catechist. He was martyred during the Japanese occupation of World War II. And then we also had an Armenian Catholic Archbishop, Ignatius Maloyan, who was also martyred during the genocide, Armenian genocide. He refused to convert to Islam. And then for me, the other of the others that were, let's see, where are we now? Five, six, seven. One of the most amazing was a nun, a Salesian sister. She was a nurse, a dentist, a surgeon, and a catechist.
Wow.
Oh, I know.
Wow.
Just amazing stories.
What year what time period was she alive? When was she alive? Do you know her?
I don't have her date
incredible.
My article, but yeah. She did spend 44 years as a missionary among indigenous peoples in Ecuador's Amazon rainforest, you know.
Wow.
But as I was saying earlier, in talking about Lourdes with the two people whom I just interviewed for my radio show, talking about Lourdes and miracles and amazing stories, I said, you know, there's so many stories in the Catholic Church, like of saints, and there's people probably that surround us in everyday life, that if you were a novelist and wanted to write some of the stories, some of the lives of people, you couldn't invent this. Yeah. You know, take a woman who becomes a nun, but by the way, she's a nurse, dentist, surgeon, a catechist. So just amazing stories, and I've just summarized them, of course, in only a few words, but
I'm going to read. When is that blog about the saints out already, Joan? Can we read that now or?
Oh, you mean the interview?
Yeah.
Actually, it's for radio. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll be listening to that and getting it ready to air on a upcoming weekend. But
okay, good. Okay, so, we'll follow that. Wonderful seven new saints to learn about and add as our friends.
And then I talked about them on At Home with Jim and Joy the other day and on their show and everything else. But their stories are out there on the Vatican and on other sites as well. But you could tell how delighted, you know, Pope Leo was, obviously, with the events that day. There's the tapestries are still up in the square with that feature these
Yeah, I saw a picture of it. Beautiful.
You know, but, and he met with different people after Mass. Well, there's Mass, the Angelus. And then just before 1 p.m., so Mass began at 10:30. Just before 1 p.m., my dear, the Pope comes out of the Vatican because he had gone back inside with other cardinals and bishops, and he came back out in the white jeep, circles the square all the way up and down Via della Conciliazione for 25 minutes. And that it's just getting to be that way. The crowds are huge. And then, you know, today's general audience, another huge event. I haven't seen any numbers published yet, but it's got to be in the vicinity. Even with the rain, you might have seen some of the pictures. Even with the rain, it had to be in the vicinity of 25,000-30,000 people.
Wow.
You know,
What a testament to people hungering for truth and wanting to know more about their faith. That's so beautiful, Joan. And tell us about Pope Leo XIV's new weekly event on his calendar.
Well, yes, by now it's definitely written in stone, it seems. He goes out to Castel Gandolfo to the Villa Barberini part of the papal property out there, because there's two separate but adjacent properties. And so the Villa Barberini part, that was land acquired a number of years ago to add to the papal villa. And that house is something some of our listeners might know, and that if they've ever been to the Costa Gandolfo tours of the gardens. So the gardens are there. There's a great big farm. And then there's several homes that welcome people, residences, and, you know, not huge. But the Pope goes out there now on Monday afternoons. He spends the night, spends as much of Tuesday as possible, comes back to Rome, you know, late afternoon, early evening. And it's wonderful because there's really, he tries not to put anything on his calendar. In other words, not meeting with big groups and everything else. So it's a time for him to work. I mean, if you want, it's his day off. You know, you and I may have weekends or something like that, but the Pope's got to have a day in which he can do what he wants to, not what he has to. You know, that doesn't mean a Pope doesn't enjoy, as Leo does, the general audiences, and then the beauty of a mass for a special event like a canonization. But the question on everybody's mind, and it certainly was foremost on mine when the Pope went out there yesterday. As you know, last Wednesday, he received from a Polish donor who owns a horse farm in Poland, he received a purebred white Arabian stallion. And that horse is now, as of that afternoon, Wednesday, is at Castel Gandolfo. And we know very well that Pope Leo loves to ride horses. So, because he did a lot of it in, sometimes just because he had to, when he was in Peru. The way he could get around some areas was on horseback. So he's a wonderful horseman, and I am convinced, even though we might not ever have a picture, I'm convinced that he rides, the horse's name is Proton.
Oh.
And I'm sure, yeah, and that was his name when he was given to the Holy Father last week. But I don't remember when I saw such huge smile and joy on his face as when he, I mean, but how do you beat that? Now, see, anybody wanting to
That's a pretty significant gift.
Yeah. Anybody wanting to give the Pope a gift, what do you give him now?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, unless
awesome.
It's an original Michelangelo or something.
Yeah. But, So, Joan, let's talk about in our catechesis on the Jubilee theme of Jesus Christ, our hope. They're considering transformative power of the resurrection. Let's talk about that.
That really was a beautiful audience. And as you know, Pope Leo's been kind of focusing on the resurrection in a couple of the last week's general audiences. And he always starts with noting that the Jubilee theme of this entire year is Jesus Christ, our hope. And so he says, today we will consider the transformative power of the resurrection. Now, all of us who know Holy Week and Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, are we transformed? And basically, here's, you know, I guess I'd never thought of myself as being transformed, but here's how we can be, says the Pope. In our society, sadness and desperation are overwhelming. Many individuals who struggle to find meaning in their lives. I mean, we see this on Facebook, we read about it and hear about it on TV and all. But the Pope says, on the way to Emmaus, we see the disciples were also disheartened. They had just witnessed the apparent destruction of their hope. Jesus, of course. After breaking bread with them, the Lord disappeared from their sight. So he's starting to walk with them. And they didn't recognize him, and they even break bread together. And yet, says Pope Leo, even though he disappeared, their souls were inundated with an unexpected and joyful realization. Christ is truly risen. And I mean, just think about it. If Christ hadn't risen, what would be the very meaning of our lives? What would give us hope if there was no hope for, you know, Christ who had died and not risen?
Yeah.
So,
And Joan, how often does the Pope greet the audience in English? I know that he had a group from Britain, but is that common for him to speak his native language? Okay.
Yeah. After every single, because the catechesis is given, I think, what is it now, in eight languages, the summary, he gives the main catechesis, and then Vatican employees read summaries in other languages. And at the end of those summaries, the Holy Father will greet pilgrims And that'll be in German, French, Spanish, Portuguese, Polish, where else? And Arabic, okay?
Oh,
so
okay.
Not that he speaks those languages, but he will greet a group like he did this week in English. It, you know, doesn't need it to be translated, but he will say something in Italian, and then it will be translated by the Arabic reader, etc. So this week it was interesting. He, the Pope said in his English language greetings, he thanked the group Friends of the Holy Father from Great Britain, who donated the portable studio for the use of Vatican news services. And that there is a portable studio that's been in or near or under the left-hand colonnade of St. Peter's Square, but since it's portable, it often appears in other places. And you have a few of the journalists from Vatican Radio who are sitting there and in different languages are giving out news and everything. So it's not in the big building that the public can't access, but a portable studio. And the Pope told him, he said, it's his hope, my hope, that the Jubilee will continue to be for all of you a season of spiritual renewal and growth in the joy of the gospel. Upon you and your families, I invoke God's blessings of wisdom, strength, and peace.
So, wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Greetings have gone on for years. It was very interesting with Pope John Paul because he knew so many languages.
Yeah.
He could give
whose
all the
feast day is today? Whose feast day is today?
Oh, his feast day. We forgot to mention that at the outset.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah,
Pope
feast day.
John Paul II.
Love him, Pope John Paul
II. 22nd for sure.
Well, yeah, about you 30 know. Seconds left with you, Joan. What else do you want to share with our listeners before we let you go?
Well, let's see. I know that I have to find what they are here. There are events coming up on the calendar for the Jubilee calendar for this week. There's the Jubilee of Education. And then I think this is before the end of the month, and then the Jubilee of Work and Workers. So a lot of interesting things on that calendar. And as I said, the we have Marian Spiritual. That was that was before. The 27th is World of Education. Oh, and the 24th and 6th, Jubilee of Synodal Teams and Participatory Bodies.
Amen. Joan Lewis, thank you so much for being with us here on Catholic Connection. Stay with us, everyone. We'll be right back after the break. Wrapping up this hour here on a Wednesday, October 22nd, Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio. Gospel Gardens, thegospelgardens.com. Check it out. Timothy Schmalta's next big project, well, his latest big project that is opening November 1st. I definitely want to make a trip to Orlando to see this. This is... You should tell everybody about this. Thousands of people that visit Orlando area every year. Let them make a stop at this beautiful Gospel Gardens. Timothy Schmalz, big projects. And, of course, the sculpture he created of Charlie Kirk and Jesus that is now going to be on display at Ave Maria University in Florida as well. Thank you to Timothy Schmalz for being with us here today. And, of course, to Joan Lewis, as always on a Wednesday, giving us an update on Vatican News. Joan's Rome. You can always check out her blog and get an update of what's going on in the Vatican. Coming up in the EWTN Radio Extra Hour, I'll share my coach's commentary. I'm continuing on our leadership style. It's not so much what we're saying, but how we show up. And I'm going to really focus on our body language today. That's what I'm going to share with you. We communicate non-verbally all the time. In fact, research shows about 90% of how we communicate is nonverbal, at least more than 80%. There's kind of debate on that percentage, but it's large. So we'll talk about that. And then we're also going to be talking to our guest, Kendra Von Esch, founder of the Soul, Mind, and Body Retreat, her journey back to the Catholic Church at age 42. We'll see you in the next hour, EW10 Radio Extra. Join us there.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tamio.
Good Wednesday morning, Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in once again for my dear sister in Christ this morning here on Catholic Connection. It is EWTN Radio Extra. I'll be sharing with you today my coach's commentary, which is a continuation from yesterday's commentary. You don't have to have listened to yesterday's, but you can go back and listen to the archive section of it. But we're talking about how we show up. You know, what you're saying, even when you don't even open your mouth, how we show up as leaders. And we all have leaders in us. We just have to develop them. How do we show up in the workplace, in our homes, in our families? And we're going to be focusing, honing in on something I touched upon yesterday, but I wasn't able to elaborate on. And that's going to be on our body language. We are communicating every single day just by showing up. Just by showing up. In fact, I had a conversation this morning with Nick Delatorre this morning when I was on Morning Joy. And we were talking about showing up and people see God in us, right? And Christ in us when we just show up, when we walk into a room. And that really determines on how centered we are on Christ. And people see Christ in us just by our mere presence. So I'll elaborate on that more in my coach's commentary, because we are communicating every single day walking around the world. We are communicating, even if you don't utter a word. There are people that are very verbal, and there are people very quiet. Either way, we're still communicating. So we're going to focus on that in my coach's commentary. Kendra Von Esch will be with us, founder of the Soul Mind Body Retreat. We're talking with her about her journey back to the Catholic Church at the age of 42. And her website, speaking really to the audience, I love it. You know, it's not written in third person. It's written in first person. I really love her approach. Want to find something more in your life? Are you stressed out, anxious, fearful, worrying that you never are good enough? I think a lot of people feel that way. Do you want the energy, confidence, and courage you see radiating from other people? Do you want the feeling of love, hope, and serenity that you make a difference? Maybe, just maybe, you need God, but you don't have time for God, or you have issues with organized religion and think up God might want you back since you have been gone so long, or you don't know anything about Catholicism and don't agree with its teachings, or you don't understand God's importance in your life. I get it, she says. That was me. I thought I was living in the dream, executive career, houses, boats, great family, friends, indulging in every comfort I could find. But I constantly compared myself with others and kept trying to find something more in alcohol, drugs, food, and other destructive behavior, making me feel even worse. I was filled with stress, worry, self-doubt, fear, emptiness, and I thought this was how life was supposed to be until God found me, because I sure wasn't looking for him. The joy, peace, and love I have through his grace has transformed my entire life, and I cannot keep it to myself. Everyone needs God in their life, and he will help you change and lead you to the sweet life you were meant to live. So we'll be talking with Kendra here today, this morning on EWTN Radio Extra. But at 3 minutes past the hour, it's time to get to the news on EWTN. And we're going to start with a weather update from Tammy Trio.
Mostly clear skies from New York northward into New England. Breezy with temperatures in the low 60s. In the mid-Atlantic from Pennsylvania to Virginia, it's a bright and crisp fall day with sunshine and temperatures near 70 with low humidity. A few scattered showers and thunderstorms are expected from northern Florida into southern Georgia. Elsewhere across the southeast, partly sunny with highs in the 80s. A high pressure system is building in the deep south, bringing drier, warmer weather with temperatures in the upper 80s from Texas through Alabama. Mostly sunny throughout the Midwest with temperatures in the low 70s, while clouds are increasing across the northern plains as a developing storm system moves in from the Rockies. Gusty winds and showers are possible for the Dakotas. The central and southern plains stay dry with temperatures near 80. There's a mix of sun and clouds across the desert southwest, with both Phoenix and Las Vegas in the low 90s. Warm and dry across California with temperatures in the 70s along the coast into the 80s inland. And in the Pacific Northwest, expect rain in western Washington and Oregon, spreading into Idaho with highs in the upper 50s. That's your National forecast. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
State-level religious freedom protections grow in recent years. This from the Catholic News Agency. Protections for religious freedom in the United States have grown in recent years, with multiple states adopting laws to strengthen the constitutional right to freely exercise one's religion. As of 2025, 30 states have adopted a version of the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act or similar legislation protection for religious freedom. The most recent states to adopt those protections for state-level laws were Georgia, Wyoming in 2025, Iowa, Utah, and Nebraska in 2024. West Virginia and North Dakota adopted them in 2023, and South Dakota and Montana did the same in 2021. The first adopted law was 1993, then under then-President Bill Clinton, who signed it into law to expand religious freedom protections. Under the law, the federal government cannot substantially burden the free exercise of religion unless there's a compelling government interest, and this is carried out in the least restrictive means possible. Well, that's not the same for around the world. Aid to the Church in Need's 2025 report on religious freedom around the world points out how persecution is on the rise, as almost 5.4 billion people live in countries where there are serious violations of religious freedom. This from Vatican News. Aid to the Church in Need has released the 2025 edition of its Religious Freedom in the World report, bringing to light the situation of ongoing discrimination and persecution around the globe. Looking at 196 countries, this report covering the period of January 1st, 2023 to December 31st, 2024, stressed Article 18 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. In a conference at the Institute, members of Aid to the Church in Need reflected on figures and information gathered. The last report 2 years ago reported countries facing persecution and discrimination. According to Cardinal Pietro Parolin, who gave the keynote address, this year's report is the largest since being published in 1999, showing that the trend of religious persecution continues to rise. The report warns that 64.7% of the world's population, almost 5.4 billion, live in countries where serious or very serious violations of religious freedoms exist. Meanwhile, there is a spiritual revival going on. Bible sales surge after the assassination of Charlie Kirk as Americans turn to faith for comfort and support, with 2.4 million copies sold in the U.S. this September alone. The final debate among three candidates looking to become the next mayor of New York City is going on tonight, with early voting starting on Saturday. Democrat frontrunner Zohan Mamdani, independent Andrew Cuomo, and Republican Curtis Sliwa will go at it at 7 o'clock tonight.
And I will be casting my vote on the first day of early voting Saturday. So that should reaffirm to everybody, I'm in it to win it.
Sliwa is still showing no signs that he'll drop out of the race despite pressure from Cuomo to drop out. Meanwhile, yesterday, the candidates continued to campaign, with Cuomo proposing that New York City should take control of the subway system. Mamdani is proposing to audit school vendor contracts. President Trump was asked by Sliwa remaining in the race.
He's not going to win, and not looking too good for Cuomo either. But maybe, I don't know, if he dropped out, maybe Cuomo would have a little bit of a chance, but not much.
President Trump again is touting his tariffs. More from Mark Mayfield.
During a Rose Garden luncheon for Senate Republicans on Tuesday, Trump talked about foreign trade.
I'll tell you what, tariffs equal national security. Remember that.
Trump said he has high hopes of finally reaching a trade deal with China when he meets with President Xi Jinping later this month in South Korea. China and the U.S. have been involved in a trade standoff since Trump took office for the second time. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Vice President J.D. Vance and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu held talks today in Jerusalem on the implementation of the Gaza ceasefire agreement. He and Second Lady Usha Vance were greeted by Netanyahu and his wife Sarah upon their arrival.
Hello. It's nice to see you. Yes, thanks for having us. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Speaking ahead of their meeting, Vance said things are going better than he thought. Today's talks come after Hamas on Tuesday returned the bodies of two more dead hostages to Israel. The Palestinian militant group is believed to still be in possession of the remains of 13 more held since October of 2023. The price of gold is plunging as investors profit off record highs. Mark Mayfield has that story.
Gold hit an all-time peak on Monday at nearly $4,400 an ounce as investors buy precious metals in times of economic uncertainty. On Tuesday, gold dropped over 5%, its steepest decline in over 5 years. Silver and platinum prices also plummeted. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Millions of Americans will soon be impacted if the government shutdown doesn't end quickly. Tammy Trillo has details.
Funding for SNAP food assistance could run out very soon.
Should the federal government not fund the SNAP program for Texas by October 27th, no benefits would be issued on November 1st.
That's the San Antonio Food Bank chief, Eric Cooper. The acting administrator of SNAP says the nationwide program won't have enough money by the end of the month if the shutdown continues. Over 42 million low-income Americans use SNAP. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
It's National Color Day. Today is a celebration of all colors. Bree Tennis has that story.
Researchers say color psychology is real, and color can make you do stuff. Fast food restaurants use yellow and orange because those colors are proven to make you hungry. But a green tablecloth will make you eat less. Blue makes you buy, red makes you buy more. White makes you alert, but pink makes you calm, but only in small doses. Today, celebrate color, go bold, and drag out your favorite, which statistically in America is blue. I'm Bree Tennis.
So we're going to use an orange or a green tablecloth on Thanksgiving. Here's Mark Mayfield with the latest technology news.
Apple says liquid glass can now be customized. The company is allowing users to opt between clear and tinted. The beta feature is now available to developers, and the public should have access to the beta in a few days. Anthropic is giving its AI coding assistant, Claude Code, a web app. It lets developers use their web browser to create and manage multiple AI coding agents. Claude Code for the web is now available for Anthropic's paid plans. Federal regulators are investigating Waymo after a robo-taxi made a dangerous move. The NTSA says a video shows a Waymo driving around a parked school bus while children were exiting. The company argues that the bus in Atlanta was partially blocking the driveway that the robo-taxi was trying to use. And Adobe is offering a new product so businesses can use its creative features to harness AI. Adobe AI Foundry was launched on Monday to let companies build custom generative AI models using their own intellectual property. It builds off of Adobe Firefly to produce images, videos, and text that utilize a company's logo or branding. Tech Report, I'm Mark Mayfield.
Walmart says it's halting job offers to foreign candidates who need H-1B visas to work in the United States. The policy change announced on Tuesday comes after Trump administration said it was imposing a $100,000 fee on visas for highly skilled workers. The administration says the fee is intended to curb abuse of the H-1B visa program. Walmart is the largest private sector employer in the United States and currently employs more than 2,000 H-1B visa users. Broadway could be going dark later this week. The union representing Broadway musicians say they will walk off their gigs as early as this Thursday if their contract demands are not met. Musicians say they have been working without a contract since late August, and they want a new deal with wages that accurately reflect how well the theater is doing in New York City. Both sides will meet with a mediator today in hopes of coming to an agreement. It is approaching 14 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection on EWTN Radio Extra. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with my coach's commentary, nonverbal communication, your body language. So I'm continuing my coach's commentary from yesterday on leadership when it comes to it's not just what you say, it's how you show up. And I touched upon body language yesterday in that commentary. And so today I really wanted to focus on our body language and what you're saying even when you don't even open your mouth. Now you can go to an event, right? A networking event, a party, and you can kind of have opinions about people without even speaking to them, just about how they show up, their whole presence. And how much does your confidence level impact your presence? Now, if you understand your identity is in Christ and not the culture, you will stand taller. Your whole presence changes. And I actually talked about this morning on Morning Joy with Nick Delatorre. I was being interviewed on leadership on his program. And we talked about, he mentioned how, you know, when you walk into a room, people could see the Lord in you, right? When you're centered on Christ, when you bring God into your life, people see that in you. And it's so true. Now, research often cites up to 93% of communication is nonverbal. That's probably the highest percentage. I've seen it varied from 80 to 93%. Nonverbal cues play a major role in face-to-face interactions, especially when you're interpreting emotions and attitudes. And as a coach, I'm charged to do this. I have to pay attention to not just what my clients are saying. I have to listen intently. I have to watch their nonverbal cues. You know, when their tone of the voice changes, when their body changes, when they fold their arms, you know, when they, you know, there's so many different emotions that are at play. Now, here's a breakdown of the origins of nuances behind the statistic. There's a famous 7-38-55 rule. This rule comes from Albert Mehrabian, a 1967 study, which found that when people interpret emotional content, their judgment is based on 7% on the words, 38% on the tone of voice, and 55% on facial expressions. So when people are interpreting what you're saying, only 7% is actually the words coming out of your mouth. 38% is the tone of your voice. 55% is your facial expressions. I always been told I'd be a horrible poker player because I can't hide my facial expressions. However, this applies only when verbal and nonverbal cues conflict. For example, when someone says, "I'm fine," but they have a sad face or flat tone, that's a misinterpretation alert. When many sources wrongly generalize the findings to all communication, which is really inaccurate. So you kind of look at, is what you're saying in line with, you know, your whole body language? In reality, nonverbal communication is highly influential in emotional and relational context. By verbal content dominates in informational or instructional settings. So what nonverbal communication includes is this: your facial expression, your gestures, your posture, your eye contact, your tone, your pitch, your pace of your voice, your use of space, your appearance, your attire, your practical takeaways. I mean, I know we're not supposed to judge people. I get that. But we do make judgment calls based on how people look, how they walk into a room, what they're wearing, how they present themselves. When words and body languages align, we trust the verbal message, right? So if your words match your body language, we're going to trust you. But if they don't match, people don't trust you. Your trust level goes down. So when they conflict, we tend to believe the nonverbal signals. We'll look at your nonverbal cues more than we're going to listen to the words that are coming out of your mouth. So we have to be cognizant of our physical presence. For coaches, leaders, and communicators, congruence between verbal and nonverbal cues builds trust and clarity. So you want to hone in on your body language. Your confidence isn't just heard, it's seen. I've read many books on body languages when I was studying in college, my master's degree in communications, and writing my thesis on bullies in the workplace. So I said, you know, eye contact, steady eye contact shows confidence, interest, engagement. Avoiding eye contact may signal discomfort, insecurity, or dishonesty. Blinking rapidly can indicate stress or anxiety. Facial expressions, genuine a smile, it goes a long way, involves both mouth and eyes, signals warmth and authenticity. A smile is imperative in building trust. If you walk into a room with a frown, I know people like this, they're just always frowning, they're always upset. And it's like, what is going on inside them? You know, the furrowed brow often associated with confusion, concern, or frustration. You know, so we look at posture. Head held high indicates confidence and openness. You know, a bowed head suggests shyness, uncertainty, or rejection. Relaxed posture communicates ease and friendliness. Crossed arms, often interpreted as defensive, closed off, or resistant. You know, when you're speaking publicly as a public speaker, when I go out and speak, I look for these cues of how people are reacting to what I'm saying. Your gestures, your open palms facing forward, a sign of honesty, sincerity, openness. Steeping fingers, you know, indicates confidence and authority. Touching the nose or face may suggest lying, displeasure, or discomfort. When people constantly touch parts of their face, you know, this is scientific. You can't just, I'm not painting a broad brush, so be very careful as you start judging people. But it could suggest that people, what they're saying is not actually telling you the truth. So you look to these nonverbal cues. Pause before speaking. Thoughtful leaders inspire confidence through presence and composure. And humor, lightheartedness, lightness creates connection. People remember how you made them feel. And I said this yesterday, my husband's really brilliant on this. You know, he not only smiles all the time, but he's very funny. And people just love working with him because he's engaging. Now, let's look at this from a Catholic perspective, going deeper on our body language. You know, we have to look at our humility, our spiritual truth in us, and our being centered on Christ. Let's look at a reflection from the Presentation Ministries interprets Romans 12:1. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's a call to surrender every aspect of bodily life to God. These are gifts. We are homes of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit lives within us. So how we dress, how we speak, how we move, how we care for others, suggesting that body language can reflect holiness, discipline, and love. God may use us for some of us, you know, for celibacy, for caregiving, you know, our physical presence. How are we caring for other people? According to covering, you know, like our, you know, our religion, our faith has a lot to do with how we show up, being centered on Christ. Today is the feast day of St. John Paul II. He talked about theology of the body, teaches us that the human body reveals divine truths, especially about love, vocation, and dignity. And if you have not read St. Pope John Paul's writing on theology of the body, please go do so. Today's a great day to do that. Body language in this view is not neutral. It can affirm or distort the truth of the person. Modesty is posture, and gaze reflects respect for self and others. The body is a visible sign of invisible grace and how we use it through gestures, expressions, presence. Are we glorifying God or are we distracting from Him? We as Catholic Christians, we have to be cognizant of our presence. And I'm not talking about outward beauty, because beauty is really exuded from the heart. But how we show up, our presence speaks to other people, even when we're not using words. We are communicating the second we walk into a room. People will see the frown or the smile. They'll see the tall shoulders or the hunched over. They're going to be communicating with you by your eye contact. So think about how you show up. And when you're focused on Christ, when you invoke the Holy Spirit into your heart, into your soul, when you call on the Lord to guide you, when you're centered on Christ, people see Christ in you. That's part of how we communicate with one another. So think about your entire presence, not just what you say, but how you show up. That's my coach's commentary for today. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. Here on Catholic Connection, Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio this morning on EWTN Radio Extra. Our next guest is the founder of the Soul, Mind, and Body Retreat. We're talking with her today about her journey back to the Catholic Church at the age of 42. Welcome, Kendra Von Esch. Kendra, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so blessed to be here.
So I love going to your website. It's very engaging. I love how you are speaking to people in first person and really inviting people in. So thanks for, you know, that presence on your website. I think it's so well done.
Well, thank you very much. I did have a little help. Didn't do it all by myself. I can't take full credit.
No, I know. I can't. None of us can, really. If we're that good at what we do, you know, I'm a firm believer. We focus on what we're good at and let other people focus on what they're good at. And we kind of are in this together, right? So tell us, walk us through a little bit of your story and your journey back to faith. I think your story is so relatable, by the way, reading about you. But, you know, walk us through this process.
Oh, okay. So for anyone who has the lost souls out there in your family, please keep hope alive because I lived my life as a completely worldly person. Mm. I do want to say that I was confirmed, was baptized, First Communion, confirmation, but I knew nothing about the faith. When you think about it, I didn't know three very important things about the Catholic faith. Number one, that Jesus was God. I just thought he was God's son. Number two, that Jesus is the Eucharist. I had no idea. That's the source and summit of our faith, and I had no clue. And last but not least, that why did Jesus actually die for us? Mm. So my whole relationship with the Catholic Church when I was younger, it was just me going through the effort. So I went to public school. I went to CCD on the weekends. You know, always in my soccer uniform, can't wait till CCD is done. Obviously, I didn't learn anything. Don't know how I was confirmed. I know I was memorizing prayers in the car before class, but the world really raised me. We never talked about Jesus in the house. We were Christers, so we were those Christmas, Easter churchgoers.
Okay.
And, you know, we would come and steal your seat when we would go there. Two times a year. And we would leave after communion and beat the traffic. It was just, Jesus was not in my life, although I thought I knew what he was. I thought, obviously, what the whole world thinks the Catholic Church is, and I didn't want to have anything to do with it. Mass was boring, so I searched in the world for what would make me happy. So most of my life, I was battling my body, my weight. I was bulimic for periods of time. I wanted to make a lot of money, so I allowed whatever I did in life to be money-making. So I got into information technology. You know how you just said that we should stick to things that we're good at and let other people do the other pieces?
Yeah.
Technology is not my game at all. Mm-hmm. But I got into it because it was a lot of money.
So
that's how I lived most of my life. Honestly, I didn't even donate. This is really sad to say, but I had a surplus of money. I could have donated to other people. And it was all about me. So very selfish. And then at 42 years old, as you had mentioned, my father had a, issue with his heart. So I got a call from his girlfriend saying that he was going to have a quadruple bypass surgery. And that shocked me because my dad was so healthy. He was on ice skates at 70 years old, coaching hockey. You know, how could this possibly happen?
Yeah.
And it was the first time that I got back on my knees. You know, I prayed the now I lay me down to sleep prayer a lot, even when I was in my 40s, because that was the only kind of prayer that I knew. I had no real relationship with Jesus. But at that moment, when I got on my knees and prayed for my dad, I just pushed the door open a wee bit, and Jesus came and kicked it wide open. So my father comes through this beautiful surgery with flying colors, and I'm one of those lepers that don't go back to thank Jesus. I make it all about me somehow. And I'm like, okay, I watched Dr. Oz and I got a book about a cleanse. Have you ever done a cleanse before?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I had never done a cleanse, never did any bodily mortification in my life. Mm. And so, I'm like, okay, my husband and I were packing on 15, 20 pounds. And I'm like, let's do this cleanse. And guess where God spoke to me in that book?
Wow.
There was a pie chart with all of these little pieces of the pie of your life. Mm. And one of them said spirituality. Mm. Now, I didn't know any difference between Judaism, Hinduism, other Christian denominations, Catholicism. I had no clue what the differences were. So, because I didn't care. I didn't care anything about God or any other type of New Age movement. You know, I just didn't care. But at that moment, God really spoke to me, and I'm like, okay, I'm cleansing my body. Might as well cleanse my soul. Mm. So I make a decision to go back to church. Mm. But I'm not going to go back to the Catholic Church because I'm really bored in Mass. I'm going to go to this other church that's down the road. There's police officers directing traffic. It must be really good in there. So on, right? Silly little girl. Anyway, so on that night, I'm having Easter Saturday at my house. We're going to start the cleanse on Easter Sunday, the biggest feast day in the church. We're not going to eat anything. And I tell everyone, my husband didn't even know, that I was going to go to church the next day. So I had to, you know, get to bed. It was like 11:30 at night. And of course, in my typical style, I eat everything in the house, you know, the day before the diet.
Oh, yeah.
And I was drinking heavily. I was addicted to marijuana. I had, you know, problems with pornography. I mean, my entire life was very worldly. So I tell everyone and they're looking at me like, are you kidding me? You're going to go to church? Like, who are you? And then my mom's boyfriend, he says, well, where are you going? And I mentioned this church that I called it a big box church.
Yeah.
And he's like, why aren't you going to go to the Catholic church? Like, my whole family's Catholic. We're all fallen away Catholics. He actually was an altar boy at one point in time. And then my mom chimes in and my dad chimes in and they're all looking at me and I'm like, okay, I'll go to the Catholic church. Thank you, God, for having them pound me at that moment. And I look up the closest Catholic church and my alarm goes off the next day. And I'm thinking, why did I tell everyone? Whose stupid idea was this? Now I have to go because everyone knows that I'm supposed to go. So I get up and I go to this church that I've never been to before. And you have to understand how nervous I was and scared I was because the only time I've ever been to Mass was with my family and my first husband. And I just went. I, you know, didn't know what I was there for. You couldn't wait to get out of there. So going by myself was pretty scary. And when I arrived, I followed this shorter little lady. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to follow her where she goes. I'm kind of sweating. Like, I don't even know what to do in Mass. I just stood up and kneeled when everybody else did. So I follow her in. She goes to the first Kendra, we got to back pew.
Sorry, Kendra. Oh. We got to take a break. We come back. We'll finish up with you. Yeah, that's the music. We'll take a break. We'll finish this part of your story, and we'll talk about soul, mind, and body retreat after that.
Beautiful.
Stay with us, everyone. Talking with Kendra Von Esch, founder of Soul, Mind, and Body Retreat, and her journey back to the Catholic Church at the age of 42. And, you know, we left off, Kendra, with you going to church, following a, you know, short stature little lady in the church because she really didn't know what to do. And let's finish up that part, and we'll talk about how you help other people with Soul, Mind, and Body Retreat.
Excellent. Okay, so I go through this Mass. I make it through. I make a couple of fumbles. And after I was done, I was like, you know what? That wasn't so bad. I'm going to go back. But before I left, it was announcement time, which I'd never heard because we always leave after a communion.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard about going back. Divine Mercy Sunday confession was the following Sunday. I had no idea what Divine Mercy Sunday was. I had no idea whether I was going to go to confession or not, but I had this kind of Holy Spirit stir up in me. Mm-hmm. And so the next Sunday, I ended up going to confession after being away for 26 years.
Wow.
With so many mortal sins on my soul. I mean, I took an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and I wrote on both sides, and I don't have that very big of penmanship, you know, of everything. I did a general confession that day. I was the first one in line. It changed my life. I walked, I bawled like a baby in there. I walked out of there And there was a line all the way through the church, outside the narthex, around the corner. I had no idea how much time I had spent in there, probably 20 minutes on Divine Mercy Sunday. I was thinking those people must have thought I murdered someone. So God changes my entire life. The Holy Spirit, heard about the Catholic Church. I was at work like 4 or 5 hours of the day. I should probably take this to confession because I think I was stealing from my company. I was just online learning about the Catholic faith and then also looking at my life and seeing how much I had to change, like everything, not just what I was doing, but how I spoke and what I thought. So the process of that took some time because this was in 2013. And then I was in between jobs and I kept going to adoration and the Lord is like, write a book and get out of this, go evangelize, because anybody that I could find would hear about my conversion. I flew a lot. I was an executive in corporate America in IT. And if you sat next to me on the plane, I would tell you about my conversion and about the church. And so I had to ask my husband, you know, would you mind if I left my career and went into this, I called it the quote unquote Catholic thing. And he said, yes. He said the most godly response, which was, we'll take it day by day. So fast forward a couple of years, we're now going to retire. So this is just in 2024. We lived up in the Chicagoland area, and we looked down in the Tennessee area, and we found some beautiful land, 40 acres on the top of a hill, just gorgeous. Wow. And we were just about ready to finish the house. So we have a house that we built here on this same land, which is where the retreat home is. And my husband was going to finish it off. So figure there's a house with all the drywall, but no flooring, no bathrooms, no kitchen. That was going to be him. And unfortunately, he passed away on me unexpectedly. Aww. We were driving back home from this beautiful place in Tennessee, driving back to the Chicagoland area. And he had a coronary heart attack on my kitchen floor.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Kendra.
Thank you. And so with that being said, you know, I believed everything about the Catholic Church, and my husband was not practicing. Mm. But we had the paramedics there, and I'm putting holy water all over him. And the EMT looks at me and he goes, do you want me to call a priest? I said, yes, call St. Mary's in Huntley. And the father came over. It was probably about an hour and a half. He was still on my floor because I had to wait for the coroners to come. And he prayed the apostolic pardon and last rites over him. What I didn't know that I found out 3 days after he died, Father Chris Alar was speaking about it on one of his YouTube videos. Uh-huh. If somebody dies, you have 3 hours to still have a priest pray the apostolic pardon and the last rites over that person. And it was within that 3 hours, and it was just amazing. Amazing.
Wow. That's beautiful.
So just remember that, everyone. Bring the priest, even if your person has passed.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Okay.
It's wonderful. So what that happened, and now you have this beautiful ministry, you know, soul,
right,
mind, and body retreat. So tell us about this, and how are you helping people today on their own journey?
Absolutely. So I had to figure out through prayer what I was going to do with this place. And he was like, I don't only want you to move there, not knowing anyone, but I want you to also build this beautiful retreat home. Because during that time, I was also healed from so many things. And so I know that women, it's for 12 women only, so it's a very intimate retreat. There are women speakers in the Catholic circuit that will be here, so you can get to know other Catholic speakers intimately. There is a 3/4 of a mile path. There's a beautiful pond with some waterfalls. I have a in-ground pool that is also open to anyone who wants to take a dip here in the hot summer in Tennessee. And there's also a private, separate, standalone chapel. Every woman gets her own room with her own private bathroom because you know how much we love to share bathrooms.
Yeah.
And it's just a different spa-like feeling. Everything is brand new. Everything is designed to be visually appealing and relaxing. I'm trying to find a Catholic masseuse as well so that you can come down by yourself. You don't have to know anyone. Maybe you leave with 11 besties. Who knows? But this is the moment to reconnect to nature. I mean, my entire property is covered in trees. Again, it's up on the top of the hill, out in the country. Just a place to reconnect with God. Like, get your spirit back in silence. That's the Bible verse. That is the theme of this whole retreat. Be still and know that I am God. Mm. I just think us women don't take enough time to pamper ourselves, soul, mind, and body, because it all starts with the soul. We can renew our mind in a place of peace, and we can rest our bodies in the sun, walking down the path, praying some Stations of the Cross, rosaries, all of that. And there's a lot of personal time, so you can do what you want to do by yourself or with others. There's also a fire pit if we want to hang out at night on those cooler evenings and just have some camaraderie. Mm. One more thing. The initial night will be in my own home. I'm going to have a reception for everyone here in the place that I live. And then just a short little walk down the backyard is where the retreat homes are. So it's really a place for women to just disconnect and reconnect to what is most important, which is God.
That's beautiful. How can people reach you?
So my website is Soul, Mind, and Body Retreat, everything spelled out, .com. You can contact me there. You can look at the speakers that are lined up, the weekends that might work for you. Everything starts in 2026. And I'm so very excited not to just have people reconnect with God and hopefully heal here, but to meet everyone. This is like a healing thing for me. You know, being down here by myself without my husband and just meeting amazing women. Sorry, I'm an emotional person. You may not know that.
I am too. I'm crying too. And I can really appreciate this. I literally have a full face of makeup because I had to do a Zoom interview was on the radio. So I had to put a full face of makeup on and my mascara is on my face right now, but it's all okay. It's all okay. I'm a very emotional person. Did your husband recently pass?
Yeah, in January of 2024.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll keep you in my prayers. And, you know, I love this. You know, for women listening today, what an opportunity to get your, you know, a girls weekend. You know, there's prayer groups, mom prayer groups, girls weekend, sisters. What an opportunity to bond together in faith and fellowship.
And there's so many places down in Tennessee. That's another place, a piece on my FAQs at the bottom of my website. Mm-hmm. If you want to make it a weekend, head into Nashville. Go check out some other beautiful Catholic sites. Not to mention, Tennessee is pretty cool.
How far are you from Nashville?
I'm 1 hour west of Nashville.
Okay. 1 hour west of Nashville. So tell us a little bit, you know, in terms of how does the work you're doing today continue to enhance your own faith journey?
Oh, talk about prayer through work. I mean, every time I'm not a decorator. It's not my skill. So I'm constantly praying, like, do you want me to choose this ceiling fan? Should I choose this monstrance for the chapel? Should I go with this pew company or have someone build them? Like, it's a total walk of humility and just surrendering to God every day. And as long as I'm praying through it and I'm feeling that, you know, inspiration through the Holy Spirit to go in certain directions, I'm doing my best, and that's so humbling to do this. Like, I guarantee you, this would not be if my husband was alive. This would not have happened. So this is me, my retirement. You know, there's definitely been some attacks along the way, like, you're spending too much money on this. You're never going to be able to retire. You won't be able to live, like, all these types of things that, you know, if I don't turn to God and rest on him, it will it will bring me down to a place. And it has. There's been a couple of times where I've gone into that desolation and just, you know, pulled myself out with God and the Holy Spirit. And it's trust. It's this total humble walk.
Well, we're going to keep you in prayer, Kendra. We're going to keep you in prayer for sure. Definitely in the work that you do. Now, give out your website again and how people can reach you. And if women listening and want to do this retreat with you, what do they need to do? We have about less than two minutes left with you.
Okay, cool. So go to Soul, Mind, and Body Retreat. You can pick your retreat, or if you want to have one specifically for a group of friends with a theme, just go to the contact area, send me an email. I'm also available for speaking. If you want me to come to your event, that's another option. I don't have speaking on there. That's on my KendraVonEsch.com website. But everything to reach out to me and ask questions or to search in the frequently asked questions is down at the bottom of that website. But if I can help out with anything, please send me an email. It'll come directly to me. I don't have a team. You're getting me. So don't worry to ask me any questions that you have. I have other people that are looking to rent it for weddings, and Sonia Corbett is looking to rent it for her own retreat. So it's many, many options.
Yeah.
And,
are there pictures of it? Are there pictures of it we can see on the website?
So it's still being built. I have videos of the building process. So, yes, there are pictures of the progress on there.
Okay.
It's not finished yet.
All right, Kendra.
End of the year.
Well, we will follow up with that, too. I'd love to keep in touch with you.
Oh, beautiful. That would be fantastic. Thank you so much for enduring my rambling on my story. I just get so excited about it.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And for sharing this retreat home. I'm really blessed.
God bless you. Kendra Von Esch, founder of Soul, Mind, and Body Retreat. Thank you so much for being with us here on Catholic Connection. Stay with us, everyone. We're going to wrap up this EW10 Radio Extra and talk about who's coming up on Catholic Connection tomorrow. Thank you all for tuning in here on this EW10 Radio Extra Catholic Connection. Vanessa Denha-Garmo, been filling in for Teresa Tamio. Thank you to Kendra Von Esch, founder of Soul, Mind, and Body Retreat Center, for joining us here today. And thanks for tuning in with my coach's commentary. I hope you found the tips on body language useful, and you'll go out and be cognizant of how you show up, your presence, your physical presence, as you go about your day. Tomorrow on Catholic Connection, the very Reverend Paul Scalia will be with us, Power of Prayer. Father Jeffrey Kirby, Spiritual Battles with the Rosary. Michelle Sangarino, Box of Joy Initiative, and Marcellino D'Ambrosio, talking about a new series with Dr. Ted Shree and Jeff Caven. So a lot going on here on Catholic Connection tomorrow. Sherry will be filling in for Teresa on Friday, and I believe Teresa will be back in her host chair next week. I know I have some other dates coming up, either October, early November. I'll be filling in for her as well. But as always, I remind my listeners on Epiphany, the A, B, and 3 C's. And this is what you need to do. Always be connecting, communicating, and collaborating with your Catholic community. We got to get out there. We're all called to evangelize the faith. We all are blessed with charisms by the Holy Spirit. If you're baptized, to go out there and bring others to Christ. And we do that by connecting, communicating, and collaborating with people in our own community. Go out and make it a blessed day.